Hi, and welcome to the International Writers Network. And today we have a special guest. I'm actually honoured to have her here because she's someone that I really admire from a distance. We have with us as a special guest, Susan Cooney. Did I say that right, Susan? Susan Cooney, who is born and bred in Dublin. She's the original Dublin writer, and she has been writing for quite a while. We're going to hear about her writing journey. But the reason why she's so special is that I remember the time when we had our time together with the People's College, with Susan Knight, who was on the North Side Today a while back with a new project. And it was just wonderful to know Susan through her stories and things that we were all writing every week and coming back with our assignments and the lovely send-off we had. So, Susan, I really am so glad I've met you at that time and then to meet again, because we've always been part of the Inkslingers. And now, one of the things that I just love about you, Susan, is that you are the quiet writer, but you're a very observant writer. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah, you be there, but when you say your piece, then it grabs your attention. Now, you said you've been writing for... You're welcome to the platform. You're really welcome.
Thank you.
Right, and we want to celebrate you and just... You said you went to UCD College, University College Dublin, that's UCD, to... What
yes.
did you study there?
I did French and Spanish.
Okay. And that's why you, because later on, you're also a Spanish teacher, aren't you?
That's right, yeah.
Right, so you were a language student, basically. How did the writing evolve?
Sorry, say that again?
How did the writing evolve? You're a language student, you did French and Spanish. Now...
I just started writing poems when I was 18. I was always interested in writing as a kid.
Okay, you said you started writing at 18. Were you in any particular group, or were you just writing for writing's sake, or were you in competition? What kind of... Where did you take your writing? Who heard your writing?
Nobody. I just... I used to keep it in an envelope in my drawer. I never showed anyone.
So was it fostered from your English literature classes? Because I remember my English literature class was amazing. That actually made you want to do poetry, although you may not be a poet at that time. Where did you get that desire to just write poetry and, okay, I'm going to keep it to myself? Where did you get that? Because there may be some people on the air now who will do exactly what you've done. They've got all this poetry and they've kept it in the envelope.
Gosh, I don't know. I just felt strongly about one particular thing. It was the death of a local boy, and I wrote about it.
Oh, my gosh.
And that started me off. But I remember as a kid, I read a book by Aidan Higgins called Balcony on Europe. I was about eight or nine. And I remember thinking I loved the way he wrote. And I remember thinking I'd love to write like that.
Isn't that strange? 8 years old. And then...
Yeah.
You just started, but did you explain to anybody? I mean, are your parents into writing, or your uncles and aunts?
I remember telling my dad, we were talking about the book, it was his book, and I remember talking about the book with him.
And
admiring his style.
So it came from your house, actually, you had that. And so, but that would have been a big book to read, I'm assuming, for an 8-year-old.
Yeah, I used to read a lot.
Okay, right. Readers are writers, as they say, you know. So you started writing at 18. You went to UCD College and you were a French and a Spanish student. And then where did your writing take you there? Because you went over to America and you were in Spain, I believe, teaching as well. What was your writing all that time?
I wrote only a little bit in Spain. In America, I joined a writing group.
And how was that? How did that help your writing?
It was good. It was good. There was feedback. It was very like Inkslingers, actually, but with feedback.
Okay, now when you say feet, so do you have a prompt as well, or do you bring your work in?
I brought my work in.
And then they'll give you feedback, or is it a critique or just a feedback as to how they feel about it, and then you go back and you bring another piece in the following meeting.
Yes, yeah. They gave a critique.
And how did you find, was that useful for you?
Very useful, yeah. Yeah.
So now moving from America to Spain, or is it the other way around, Spain to America?
It was Spain, and then I came back home, and then I went to America.
Okay. And in America you found this group. And did you write anything there in terms of like an anthology or novel while you're there in America?
No, I was writing pieces. But I started to think about writing a novel. And I did start my novel then, actually. Yeah, I wrote some pieces that I could keep for it. And I remember going to a reading of Joseph O'Connor. Joseph O'Connor was reading his work down in Cork. And I remember asking him, you know, I want to be a writer, and do you have any advice? And he said to me, write for 10 minutes at least every day, for 10 or 15 minutes at least every day.
And has that worked for you?
It has, yes, yeah.
So he didn't say what you should write about, just write about anything. So in those 10 minutes, people listening to us now, those 10 minutes, what kind of thing would you have written? Would you write about the weather? I mean, what kind of thing, or whatever prompts you?
Something that was happening now, or about something that happened in the past, always with the view to having it in my novel.
All right. And your novel is about the Irish family, isn't it?
An Irish family, yes.
An Irish family. Is it set in a particular date or time?
From the 60s up to now. So it's set over, what's that, about 60 years. Yeah, 60-year span.
That's one a bit. And do you think towards the end it will include the coronavirus and the COVID season? Would that be part of it, or is it going to be?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah, yeah.
Right. Now, incidentally, although we're not talking about the main conversation is not going to be about COVID, what kind of things were you writing during the COVID, those 10 minutes?
I was writing about, a lot of it was childhood stuff.
Okay, that's nice. So we look forward to when do you think you have that book ready for us to have a launch?
Sorry, I missed you there.
Yeah, so when do you think you'll have that book ready to have a launch?
Oh, God, not for ages. I'm really slow.
Oh, no problem. Now, you came back, you went to America, and then obviously you came back to Ireland, and then you joined the Inkslingers. And how did you find work with Inkslingers? Because you're still working on those pieces to go towards your novel.
Yes. Inkslingers is great. Yeah, we have a prompt every week, and we write to the prompt, or we can write about anything else, or we can bring in what we're working on. So I do a mixture of writing to the prompt or bringing in parts of my novel, and I found it very helpful. It's very good for your imagination, and you see what other people are writing. It's kind of fascinating to see all the different takes on the subject.
Yes, I think that's one of the things that helps one, doesn't it, to imagine. Now, the other thing you did before we go to your first poem, which is you attended a formal writing class with the People's College.
Yes.
Although you've got the background of having been in two different, the one in America, the writing group in America, Inkslingers here in Ireland, in Dublin, yet you still felt the need to go for a creative writing course.
Now, oh, yes, yeah.
Why, do you want to tell us why, and what was the benefit, what was the gains from having that?
Well, I, you know, any kind of help with your writing is good. I mean, you know, you're always looking around for help as a writer, or what's the word? Inspiration, you know. And yeah, I found it very good. We looked at different styles of writing and we experimented with them ourselves. And yeah, it was very good, very good. The teacher was very good, Susan Knight. And I remember you were on the course and you read out at the end a piece that you'd written. And it was very, very vivid, really enjoyable and very vivid what you'd written.
I think that class just kind of, because you thought you want to write, for me, obviously everybody there said more or less the same thing. We just wanted some structure into writing. Do you think then, Susan, just given what you've learnt from Susan Knight at the People's College, I'll give some information at People's College towards the end, did it structure your work? And then that not being, not being a crude way, what did it do to actually the writing of your work? Without losing your
Well, it made me
imagination.
more critical. She was a very good critic of writing. It made me more critical of my writing and different and stuff that I read as well. I read a lot. I read an awful lot, and that helps my writing. I remember Maeve Binchy saying that if you want to be a writer, you should read voraciously. That helps your writing. So it made me more critical and more aware of good writing and mediocre writing.
Right. Well, listen, on that note, let's hear, because yours is a great writing. Could we have your first poem, please?
I don't know about that. Okay,
Oh, you're too
this is
modest now.
right, this is Kronos. Christmas trees on the New York pavements in the melting snow. Festive bulbs now guitared garish in the weak millennial sun. And the teenage crush you see now with a paunch, someone's grandpa, dances on faded film, and did we really wear those clothes? The 1980s recede just as the war fled round the corner from them. Soon enough, we'll see the links, we'll be the links ourselves. Second by millisecond. Can anyone pinpoint when the soil becomes seedling? Like a landslide of change, it grows, increasing exponentially, making us emigrants once our backs are turned.
That is really a lot of what were you? I mean, a lot of imagination there, and but the part I really love the like you're going through life and you're, I don't know, that's what I find. You're just going through, you're just explaining to us the different takes, the different parts of life, that you've gone through. Was that a summary of what you've experienced, obviously?
Yeah, part of it. Yeah. Just as like when you're middle-aged, you see decades behind you, and you kind of realize your part in history. And then the first stanza was about looking at Christmas trees
Yeah.
after Christmas, when suddenly they look tired and garish, and that time has gone. And then the last stanza is about when one thing changes into another, and it's such a tiny infinitesimal moment. To me, it's nearly like infinity. It's so tiny. Maybe it goes into infinity, and making us emigrants once our backs are turned. The past is another country, and you can't really go back to it. You're like an emigrant.
I think that's wonderful. That you can't, can we? We want to capture it, and we have all kind of nostalgic idea, but we really can't go back to it. And that makes us like, I like that, like immigrant. Right. Listen, thank you so much for that, and that's what I said I
You're
like
welcome.
about you. You have this way of just creating imaginations, and we have to function it quite well, to know what it is that she's trying to say to us. And it's about time. Time. You can get it back once it's lost, and there's so many things that we have in our past that we should just move on, I think. That's my conclusion. I should move on.
Yes, yes.
To get hold of, not try to hold on to it, but I can enjoy the memories. So this month we're talking about mothers. If I gave you a minute and a half to talk about mothers, Susan, what would be your conversation?
Well, I remember in an Irish bar in London years ago, talking to people who got very emotional about their mothers, about losing their mothers, and I didn't really understand it until I had lost my mother. And as someone said to me, there's two types of people in the world, those who have their mothers and those who don't. And I remember Meg Ryan saying in a movie, everyone loves their mothers, even people who hate their mothers love their mothers. You know, it's like the most selfless love, I think, that there is. It's so important. It's so important in people's lives.
I think you're absolutely right. I think you're right. There's no right or wrong answer, by the way. It's just really just to get to see, to hear what people think about that particular word. And everybody loves their mother, even if you hate them. I think that's something that will stick with me. And that is a very selfless love, because they just give out so much for their children, don't they? And you know. But it's funny, because I was thinking about Mother Teresa, who had no physical child of her own, but she was a mother to many people. Do you know?
She was a mother, yeah.
So, yeah, well, listen, thank you for your personal observation there, and we enjoy that. Now, Susan, what did you think about your own understanding of life as a writer? You said you told that guy you wanted to be a writer. Have you accomplished that?
Yeah.
And he said to you, write 10 minutes each day. Now, have you got to that place you wanted to do for writing? Obviously, you're writing your novel, and you're contributing to anthologies and stuff like that. You've been on a writing course, but what do you think your writing has achieved up to now for you as an individual?
For me as an individual, well, it gives me a sense of identity. I feel better when I'm writing. When I'm not writing, I feel there's something missing from my life.
Right, and you're also going to write children.
Something I have to fulfill. And I dream about it. I dream about it regularly as well.
So share one of your dreams with us, please. Like, I know some people say they have dreams.
I can't remember any particular dream. But I do know that it is a recurring dream with me.
So it's
important in my dreams.
But the writing part of your life, I mean, it's true, because there are people out there who, like, they know they want to write and they're not sure how to go about writing. But I think one of the suggestions would be, like you said, it was good for you to be in a writing group in America and then again in England. Now, also...
In Ireland.
Sorry?
In Ireland.
In Ireland. Sorry, I said England. In Ireland. I'm thinking back of England again. In Ireland. And one of the things is that you also, because it's something inside your heart, yet you're dreaming about, what would you say to people like, listen, I want to write, but I haven't really got to that place of writing novels. I'm not a bestseller or anything, but inside of me, there's this desire to write. Because you're coming from that space, what would you say to somebody on that journey? But they probably haven't got as far as you. How would you encourage them today?
Well, I'd quote the Nike ad, just do it. Just sit down for a few minutes every day. Or if you can't make it every day, make it a few times a week to start with. And just do it.
Okay.
And join a group as well. Yeah, a group is very helpful.
A group is very
and
helpful.
And go to classes if there are classes as well.
So that's great, Susan. Susan, you know, it's great to have you here, just being so honest and so down to earth with us about writing, but knowing that it is something you want to accomplish. And so you're writing a novel about an Irish family, and also you're writing children's book. What kind of children's book are you proposing? Are you writing?
It's about a teddy bear, about two little teddy bears, and a little doll, and their adventures.
And now that is really funny, because you know, with children, they love things like that. They can relate to that. And obviously, you've been reading for a long, long time, so you'd have gone through the children thing. I don't know. I was an Eden Blyton fan. I don't know who your favorite child author was. But so, do we assume that these two teddy bears will go into adventures, to different adventures within the world of children? And would there be like moral guidance as well? Would they go into escapes and come out, or how are you planning for them to? Are you planning to use them to teach children, for example, certain things they should know?
There's a little moral element. There needs to be more of a moral element. I'm working on that.
But basically, it's just adventures of a teddy bear.
Yes.
Oh, fantastic. Listen, we're coming slowly towards the end. Is it possible to have that second poem now, please?
Sure. This is called York Road. It's a road in Rathmines where I lived. Ghouls, masks, dead hands in gardens give way to tyranny of Christmas lights, supplanted by the first shy snowdrops, heads bent against the winds, clinging in late winter nights. Months later, balmy days outdo them all. They bleach your sadness at the dead. Scents of rose with honeysuckle blend. Walking home, damp fragrant lawns sing. You name the colours of white, orange, pink and blue, hoping they will stay with you. On TV screens through open windows, Nadal wallops, strains and sweats, dashes, takes a fall, jumps up in a mini pirouette, then slices home the ball. Then strawberry daiquiris, music dance, midsummer's night with friends, all merge in a pleasure trance. Come home in chilly dawn, and clean white crescent moon hangs there in a sky of milky blue.
You have a way with words, don't you, Susan?
Oh, that's very nice of you, but I don't know how true that is.
Because we can follow you and see the things that are happening on that road, and you can relate to it. I think if a poem is relatable, then you value it, because I could use that to say, that sounds really interesting. I remember that. I know that, you know, so dancing down the road, you know, just the different ways in which you make words very palatable to give us a vivid imagination of what you're trying to do. You're giving us a picture in our mind, and I think you do that successfully every time. Because obviously, I know you. You've only got two poems to share. Now, we're coming towards the end. Where would they be able to get more of your poems?
Well, I don't know.
Have you put your books, are they on your Facebook? Can we see it on your Facebook, your Instagram, or anything like that?
I don't do Facebook anymore. I was turned off Facebook. I had posts deleted, posts that were really innocuous. And then I had one post that appeared on my Facebook that was some right-wing American thing. So that put me off Facebook. I don't do Instagram.
Right.
If somebody wants my poem, they can ask me.
We're going to have to wait for that novel to come out, and an Irish an Irish family and your children's
yeah.
family, because there are lots of children. We just love to have the adventures of these two teddy bears and the different things they'll teach them, as well as the adventures they're going to go into and have. And you know, now, because you also teach Spanish, would any of your work be in Spanish?
No, none of it is in Spanish, no.
Right, so you write good old English, but you are a Spanish teacher.
Yes.
Teach Spanish. Well, listen, it's been so wonderful having you here today. Thank you for sharing your
book. Well, thank you for having me.
And it's great. I mean, and would you recommend the People's College for those who are looking for some structure to their work before they dare enter into, some people before they even dare to enter the writer's group, because that may be a bit daunting. Would you recommend the course you went on, the People's College, to them?
Well, I don't know, because Susan has retired, apparently.
Okay, yes.
I don't know what the new teacher is like, but certainly to do a writing course is certainly valuable.
Right, so it is very valuable. And I'm sure the People's College... Yes, Susan's no longer there, which the teacher we both had. But definitely, yes, Susan is saying to us here on the platform that it's useful to attend a creative writing course if you can, but it's not compulsory, and we just want to encourage, because we had such fun during that time with the People's College.
Mm.
And, and they produce a book at the end of it as well, so I'm sure so you become an author at the end of those period of writing. That was really good. And also, you know, your writing group, again, you're recommending are you recommending the Inkslingers?
Oh, yes. Yeah, definitely.
So,
yeah, it's good to get your imagination working.
Yeah, you've been there for quite a number of years, haven't you? How many years have you been there, the Inkslingers?
About 8 or 9 years.
Yeah, I think so. Your minds will be going that far. So here we are, both agreeing and hoping that writers listen to this, or beginning writers, intermediate writers, whichever level of writing you are. You know, if you still want to go on a course, take a degree in your writing, if you're a well-established writer, then go for some structure if you want to. But more importantly, enjoy the vibes and the group of being in a writing's group. Just there's a group dynamic there. And also we have a social afterward, and the people do go to cafes and they have an after writing, which you get to know the writers and the people around you, which is really nice.
So, yeah, that's fun too. Yes, yeah. And they're interesting. Writers are interesting people.
I think so. Listen, Susan, it's been great to have you here. Thank you for giving us insight. And I hope one day we're going to see the publications of those poems in an envelope that you had when you first started off. Congratulations on all that you're doing. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mary.